I know you've all been saturated by what has happened in New Zealand over the past couple of days, and if you noticed in Saturday's paper, the first 17 pages were all designated to the events in New Zealand, and the Sunday Times is not much better. I want to think about it because it raises the question which many people raised with me: where was God in this event? Why did it happen? And for those who have no belief structure, use it as ammunition that God doesn't exist, otherwise he would have intervened. And it's a misunderstanding of God. It's a total misunderstanding of God. We look at the situation, we look at God's creation. In the beginning, God brought into being the most beautiful, magnificent creation imaginable. And when it was complete, he placed the human race into this creation because he wanted a people he could love and have a relationship with. Even God wanted companionship. And when he created us and placed us in this world, the one gift he gave us was the gift of freedom, the power to choose. Now, you could argue that was reckless, knowing how the world's turned out. But for God, there was no alternative, because love can only be offered and responded to. Love can never be imposed, or it has the opposite effect. God wanted to create a people who responded to his love. And so in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, in that ideological story, it begins with man's defiance and making bad choices. When God said to Adam and Eve, "It's all yours, everything except the fruit of the tree of knowledge." And the response was, "Who said so? Why can't I?" And the human race has been saying that from this day to this. There is a defiance within human nature, the ability to make the wrong choice. And that's what happened in New Zealand. A wrong choice by perhaps a number of people was made, which brought about a great tragedy. A great tragedy with so much sadness, which affects people around the world. But what has God achieved with the incident through the hearts and lives of people? The greatest outpouring of love, of unity, of support, of reconciliation for a most terrible event. The whole world is joined together with compassion. Muslims and Christians are meeting together in churches and mosques to pray alongside one another. We see from this terrible act a great outpouring of love. And the man who perpetrated the crime has totally failed. It's had exactly the opposite effect for 99% of our population. And that is how God always brings to conclusion a tragic event with the outpouring of his love. Remember the crucifixion, which we will be within 4 weeks, 5 weeks' time, the depths of despair, and people are saying, "Where is God?" And Jesus goes through that adversity to bring into the world the power of the resurrection, the greatest joy ever shared by human beings. And so, for sure, we're deeply moved by what has happened in New Zealand, but don't let it in any way put doubts in your faith in a loving God. He has been vindicated. He will bring good out of it, for the ultimate good of this human race. And so it's Lent. I guess some of you have been like me through 50 or 60 or 70 Lents. And in my early days of ministry, and it was always, what am I going to give up? Give up chocolate, give up this, give up something else, stay my prayers more regularly. And over the years, it has slowly changed. And I believe this season is a time of spiritual growth. What can we put into our lives to enjoy our faith journey a little more? And that rather obscure gospel we had today, and if you understood it, then you're a pretty good theologian. It's not easy, but it's got two events that happened in Jerusalem, but then there's this magnificent little parable at the end. And this is all about repentance. Why do we repent? For God's benefit or for our benefit? What is the advantage in repenting? Well, I'll tell you a little story. The other night I was at a meeting with a lot of young people, and they sort of said to me, you know, they know I'm the old fellow in the group, in the room. And they said, where do you get your energy and why are you still doing what you're doing with the age you're doing? And I said, it's simple. I travel light. I travel light. And they said, what do you mean? I said, well, once upon a time, I had a mountain of baggage on my back. I had negativity, resentment, guilt, and all the things that are heavy to carry, and they burdened me and they weighed me down until I could no longer cope. But then I learnt that you can offload this baggage stone by stone, rock by rock, and discard it, and then you can travel light. And when you travel light, it makes all the difference to how you feel with God, with your fellow man, with yourself. And this is what Lent's all about. You're a fine bunch of Christian people, and yet as you sit this morning, I guess there are some things in your life you might like to offload. It's amazing how the things that haven't worked out in our lives are the ones we most frequently remember. And we shouldn't do it. We shouldn't do it. Because every time we feel unforgiven, we're undoing the whole purpose of this Lenten journey and Good Friday and Easter Day. We're undoing it. When we hang on to the things that trouble us, we haven't accepted and experienced the forgiveness that Jesus promised. It was his promise. And when we make the confession, when I forgive you, make the sign of the cross, it's not Brian, not at all. The cross is Jesus. He forgives you, absolutely, unconditionally. It's done with, it's dealt with. But how often do we pick it up and take it home with us? Still trouble us. And that's what saps our energy. That's what brings about sleepless nights. That's what negates that freedom that Jesus offered to us when he said, "My peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you." What's the peace of God that passes all understanding, which we say in every blessing? It is the total abstinence from fear and guilt and resentment. Total, absolute. We are God's redeemed people now. We're not futuristic believers. That is, the only hope is we might go to heaven when we die. We will go to heaven when we die. But it's what it means to us in our daily journey. The joy in believing. And it is so contagious. It is so contagious. You ever notice that when you're feeling good and bright and life is good, how easy it is to communicate, to greet people in the street with a smile or a word of encouragement? And it transforms everything. I've been teaching my friends in the prison, which is a pretty negative place. But I've been teaching them that when they have the evening meal, and 50% or 60% of prisoners prepare their own meals in the houses, instead of reminding the cook how bad his failures are, you say, gee, that was a good meal tonight. I really enjoyed it. And I was at an AA meeting in the prison yesterday, and some of the guys report it's beginning to work. By a little bit of praise, a little bit of encouragement, and a little bit of less negativity, the world in their houses is beginning to change. And coming back to New Zealand, our relationship with the Muslim people is beginning to change. Because the moderate people, the people that just go into their mosques of a Friday and a Saturday, are being heard, coming together with Christians, encouraging one another, instead of always being criticised or feeling as though they're under attack. And sadly, when we're under attack, we so often react, and it's not a positive outcome. And so, my friends, this is a great Lenten journey. If you've got any rocks that you're carrying or any boulders or anything else, do your best to offload them. Travel light and see what difference that makes in your daily lives. I'm going to close from that final verse, which I hope you'll take home. Paul's talking to the Philippian people, and he's got sadness because some have lost their way, but a lot haven't. And these are the words he said in the final verse. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, with you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord, and in this way be my dear friends. You know, that's tremendous. You are the beloved children of God, who rejoices that you are present this morning. And as you stretch forth your hands to receive communion, hear the words of Jesus once again. I love you so much, I was prepared to die on the cross. Not an historical event, but daily. I give myself to you. So you can take yourself into yourself and go into the world and experience the peace of God that passes all understanding.